Ralphie May would have been 50 years old on February 17th, born February 17th, 1972 in Chattanooga, Tennessee. A really cool dude I got to spend some time with. Tell you about that later. M Live saw him up in Michigan in 2013. They recap some of Ralphie's material. Ralphie was talking about how a man of his size could pick up attractive women at the bar. Ralphie said, "I've got a lot of charisma, plus women are forgiving and they can be charmed. It's just a numbers game. She might just be drunk enough. If she's already making out with you in public, she's drunk enough." Ralphie said the key was to approach the most attractive girl in the room and work your way down from there. At a certain point, you're bound to score. He also advised that it helps to let the woman do the talking and act like you're an incredibly good listener. He said, "Michigan, it's a great state somewhere. Y'all got a meth problem around here. Y'all know that, right? We bought gas and they said we could pay with cash, credit, or Sudafed. I know how you are in Michigan. Save your pain pills until you're feeling better." The website Grunge had a lengthy piece about Ralphie May. Ralphie was 17 when he won a contest that had a terrifying prize, which was opening for Sam Kinison. Ralphie performed and flubbed a punchline. He completely failed at getting his rhythm back. Before the show, Sam Kinison had given him some terrible advice. That advice was swear and yell. It had worked for Kinison. Ralphie May, 17, had no reason to think he was getting anything but actual advice, so he did it. Ralphie said, "I got booed by 3,200 people. I started crying a little bit. I ran off stage. Then one of the biggest names in stand-up comes running out and tells me, I'll never be in stand-up comedy again, and I'm really crying. I got used, you know? I got set up." He found out about a year later that Sam Kinison loved him and had raved about him. Ralphie May was invited to a party by Sam's brother, and there was no looking back. When Ralphie May performed on Last Comic Standing, he was a relatively svelte 450 pounds. That would have been the Ralphie that I knew. The Sun Sentinel says at one point Ralphie was 800 pounds. His problems had started with a car accident when he was 16. Ralphie May broke 42 bones in the accident. And his fight with weight was constant. He had gastric bypass surgery, his stomach stapled, even spent 2 months on Celebrity Fit Club. His goal weight was always 200 pounds, but he'd only make it down to about 350. He said he knew his size was a detriment to his career. "I think there's a bias against fat people on network television. In general, it's endemic to the industry." Ralphie only had one thing he found off limits in his comedy. That was bullying and the violence against women, children, and animals that grew from it. He said, "I didn't find that funny. I don't think bullying is cool. I don't think that's effing funny." Part of the reason is that he used to be a bully himself. That only changed after he was in the car accident. When he was recovering, a boy from his church would travel 60 miles 3 days a week just to visit him in the hospital and help Ralphie keep up with the schoolwork he was missing. When Ralphie got out and went back to the school the next year, he saw the same kid, depressed and the target of relentless bullying, all because he was gay. Ralphie said, "I punched some ex-friends of mine in the face, people who deserved to be. Paul didn't. I smacked him and said, nobody messes with this guy anymore. That's man stuff. When I stopped being a boy and started being a man, when I put that bullying stuff down and stuck up for somebody." He would do a lot of racial material in his sets and said, "People are only offended when it's about their group. If you get offended, take your effing lump like everybody else and wait for the next joke." He said, "There's nothing personal and no hate behind the jokes. The intent makes a big difference. I give everybody drama, but everybody also knows it's Ralphie. He loves you." From Arkansas Online in 2008, Ralphie May said he was running a temperature of 104 when he made his 2004 appearance on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno and got the show's first standing ovation for comedian in 10 years. Ralphie said, "I don't even remember it. Everybody told me I looked so relaxed. I was just trying not to get sick. I had fun growing up in Arkansas. Growing up in Clarksville, Little Rock was Tinseltown. Now that I live in LA, I dream of traffic being equivalent to a busy day around the malls." The Washington Post profiled Ralphie back in 2010 and said, "Ralphie May has known for decades he wanted to be a stand-up since he first saw Johnny Carson hosting The Tonight Show when he was 9, and he instantly thought that Carson was truly bombing his jokes, not doing such as a comedic device. He thought he could do anything, and in the years since, he's kind of been right." They asked Ralphie, "You do a lot more topical stuff than family stuff, right?" Ralphie, "Yeah, but I've got a great one to talk about. My wife is Jewish, my babies are Jewish, my Jewish mother-in-law hates me, and I don't hardly talk about any of it. I do more topical stuff. I can't do family comedy as good as Mr. Cosby or Mr. Newhart. Let me jump in there." That's how Ralphie spoke. Now, at the time of this interview, he would have been 40 years old, and he's calling these guys Mr. Newhart, Mr. Cosby. Don't forget, in 2010, we didn't know about Mr. Cosby. You know what I'm saying? Back to the interview. "I can't do family comedy as good as Mr. Cosby or Mr. Newhart or any great family comics. So if you can't do it better, then really aren't you just lagging behind the leader? All right, so what kind of topical things should people be looking forward to hearing you make cracks about, Ralphie May?" Ralphie, Have you ever thought Tiger Woods wasn't half Asian and half black? The last 2 months have confirmed it. It all started with a single car crash, the car never going over 20 miles an hour in his own neighborhood. That's the most Asian-y thing I've ever heard in my life. And then we find out he's cheating on his super hot wife with 18, 19 other hot white women. That's like super NBA black. It makes all his accomplishments that much more impressive. You're banging these women 3 or 4 times a night, and he likes to play 20, 21 holes a day, and he's banging all these women, and then he's still beating the best golfers in the world. Own that. Don't run from it. Tell everybody about it. So back at Sirius, we would often do demo shows with comedians, and the problem always came back to us being tuned into who the next hot comic was, and maybe the bosses being like, I don't know who that is. Get me Chris Rock. I don't know who that is. Get me Eddie Murphy. Now, the problem is, as I tell the bosses, Eddie Murphy's not doing your comedy show for free. Give me a checkbook. But there were a lot of up and comers who would take leaps of faith. Well, that's one of them was Ralphie May. And I remember I was out in Los Angeles working a demo show with him. I think. Anyway, he said he'd pick me up. So he picks me up and I'm in Ralphie's large SUV. And he's like, hey, you mind if I go get the car detailed? No problem. So I'm just hanging out with him. And we went and got his car detailed. And there was a place with Mexican food next door. And we walked over and got Mexican food. And then went back to the car and went to the studio. And the whole time I'm just like, I'm just randomly out getting Mexican food with Ralphie May. Okay. What a nice guy, though. And he was one of those people, unlike some of the comedians I've shaded here in the past, Aziz, that remembered who had helped him. Every Christmas, he would send a nice bottle of Dom Perignon to me at Sirius, and I appreciate it, and thank you very much, Ralphie. Just a nice guy that was always thankful and remembered who his friends were. The Virginia Pilot asked Ralphie May, what were some of your biggest struggles when you first hit the road as a stand-up? Ralphie, for the first 4 years, I was performing in 21 and up clubs. I'd be allowed to go in for my performances. Then I'd have to leave. I couldn't just hang out. So I had that. And because I wrote fast and still do, I had people accuse me of stealing material. I'd go, yeah, who'd I steal that from? And they'd go, They didn't have an answer. It was just a way of trying to tear somebody down, to shake their confidence and make them distrust themselves and just generally hate on someone. It was a pit of vipers. A bunch of old, bitter comedians that had no mark and never left the cocoon. And because of that, for years they sat in judgment of other comedians and decided who was funny and who was going to have an easy path and who was going to have a hard one. And I came up on the hard one. Oh, yeah, there are comedians that do that. Were there any supportive comedians? Oh, yeah, a whole gang of them. Chris Rock requested me to work with him on the road 3 weeks in a row. Bill Hicks had me work with him for 2 weeks in a row. First time I met Bill Hicks, he was mad that the woman who owned the Laugh Stop in Houston had said that he was X-rated, that he wasn't triple X-rated. She explained that she only had one X and that was sufficient. But I came up with a happy medium when I said, well, do you have a 3 and an X? She said, yes, we do. Boom, problem solved. And he loved it. He was like, why don't you go up? You're not trying to be me, right? No, I'm not trying to be you. You're too good. He said, well, good. Just be you and do whatever you do. And a fantastic interview with Ralphie May on a website called Advice from the Green Room. They asked, how do you get your material? People always ask me that because I write about 2.5 new hours of material every year. It's easy. You play a game with yourself every time you go on stage. Every new joke is 5 points. Every new tagline is 2 points. Rearranging your material is 1 point. Try to get a minimum of 10 points per show. When I do a headline set, I'll average anywhere from 60 to 70 points. With one new joke every time you perform, a joke being anywhere from 8 to 12 seconds, depending on if it's fast or slow, you do 5 of those, and you have a new minute. That rate, you'll have an hour of great material in a year. As for a tagline, which gets you 2 points, no joke is ever finished. Young comics always mess up and make a mistake of not finishing their comedy. They'll get it to where it gets a laugh, and then they'll go on to the next joke. A joke is never done. All these jokes are like rubber bands. You can expand them much further than you think. They'll always hold a lot more. Every joke is a deck of cards. You hold the two end cards together, and you have all the other cards in between, they make up quite a bit of space. They're all individual pieces. If you couldn't think of a whole new deck, meaning a new joke or premise, you add more cards to this deck and make it bigger and bigger. You can get to where your bits are 12 to 15 minutes long. That's what I do. If I can't write them out on creativity, I'll drown them in every angle that a joke can have. Every angle. You want to make sure nobody steals from you? Be personal. Tell your stories. Then don't do anything that anyone else can talk about. Talk about personal instances. Include your personal stuff into it. Don't say, this is a true story. No one ever believes anyone who says, this is a true story to start off with. But if you add more personal stuff to it, whether it's true or not is immaterial. As long as it's funny, that's all that matters. But to make it more believable and to act like it really happened, you'll have to add more minor details instead of just glossing over it. Plus, take all your jokes and write them out on a piece of paper. Write it just as you would say it. Then go back and eliminate every unnecessary word. That's how you tighten your material. You take out every unnecessary word. The spoken word is much shorter than the written word. And when comics write out the material, they'll write it out so it makes perfect sense and they'll remember it phonetically. But they don't have to do that. It can be shortened. For example, in my act, I talk about playing cards in an old poker room with old dead people. There's a dead person at my table. Everybody else says, no, he's got a poker face. And I say, no, he dead. Not, no, he is dead or he's dead. I shorten it to he dead. I shorten the words to get to the punch. There is a lot more in that article on advice from the green room. If you enjoy Ralphie May, I suggest you seek that out. Another one of the greats, and that's your comedy news as it is for today. Follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. See you tomorrow.